Morning, everyone. Daf Lamed in Masech Diyum. We're on the bottom of Chav Tes Amud Beis. Just a short couple days ago, we started the third parak of Yuma, in which we are now describing the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. First things first, the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Tamid that opens up every day in the Beis HaMikdash. Two carbon Tamids that are offered daily, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. So in addition to all the extra activity that's going on because today's Yom Kippur, but first things first, he needs to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar. So the first thing we did in the first Mishnah back on Chav Ches Amud Aleph is we established that it's morning. And it's got to be daytime. All carbonates have to be brought during the day. So the first thing we need to do was establish that it was day. So a day, of course, doesn't start with Netzach Hamah, doesn't start with sunrise. Day starts at dawn. So there was first an establishment that today was day. We went through the procedure, the process of establishing that it was day. Have someone climb up on the wall, check the eastern sky, make sure it's light. Conversation between the one standing on the wall and the Mamuna. And that's what we did. That is what we settled over the course of the first Mishnah. We had a nice diversion for the last couple of days. We talked a little bit about Mincha, Tzlusa da Avraham. We spoke about the various derivatives. We spoke yesterday's daf about how sometimes the derivative can be stronger than the actual source itself. We talked about indirect sunlight versus direct sunlight, and Yehurei Avera versus Avera. Okay, we spoke a little bit about the lunar path, and there's no way that the moonlight could have shone on the morning of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the beginning of the month. There is no moon in the morning on the beginning of the month. The moon is out there in the evening, in the beginning of the month. So the Gemara says, okay, it was some other day. Okay, and we spoke about what happens when not only if I shach the carbon tamid during the night when it's too early, but what if I do Malika Zahof? Or what if I do Kemitzas Mincha? And yesterday we finished off the discussion with the same basic conclusion, that if I'm Molek Of, if I do Malika with the bird, which is basically the form of Shechita with a bird in the base of Mikdash, or if I do the Kemitza with the Karban Mincha, and I do it too early, and it's not daytime, so they are disqualified, they're Pasul. Okay, that is all going back to yesterday's stuff. That's just a quick recap of the last couple of days. Zahakla, we're in the Gemara now, we're on the very bottom of Chav Tes Amud Beis. Okay, the requirement is for a Kohen to wash his hands and wash his feet. And then the Mishnah went on to say, going back to the Mishnah in Chav Ches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says, Kol HaMesach, sorry, let me go back up. Zehakla Haya B'Mikdash. This is a general rule in the base of Mikdash. Kol HaMesach is Raglav, Tohen Tvilah. That if you're Mesach Raglav, Rashi in the Mishnah back explained, Mesach Raglav is a euphemism. It's a nice way to describe someone who's going to the bathroom with gedolim, right, defecation. So he needs the tefillah, he needs to tov on the mikvah. But if you just urinate, so then you need kiddush adam v'raglaim, you need to wash your hands and your feet. Okay. That's a general rule, meaning that's not just limited to Yom Kippur, that's true by any kohen doing the avodah. Okay. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. The Gemara will spend just a little bit of time with a little bit of bathroom talk. But not bathroom talk, but in other words, talk about the bathroom. Bishlam Raglayim, Mishim Nitzotzas. I understand the need to wash your feet. Meaning you're a Kohen, you're doing the Avodah in the base of Mikdash, you had to urinate, so you excuse yourself, you went out, you urinated, and now you have to wash your feet. The feet, I understand, says the Gemara, because Nitzotzas. Because there are droplets of urine that fell on your feet, and you have to wash them off. Okay, that I get. Eli Adai, my time. But why do you have to wash your hands? Oddly enough, the Gemara is asking right now. There's really no need to wash your hands. Meaning, the assumption the Gemara is making is that he didn't hold himself. And certainly there's no urine on his hands. So why is there a need to wash his hands? So I'm Rabbi Abba, Zosameris, Mitzvah L'Shafshef. So Rabbi Abba says, I'll tell you why you need to wash your hands. Because Mitzvah L'Shafshef. Because after having gone to the bathroom, so you're going to have drops of urine on your legs. It's hard for us to always think about these things because we have indoor plumbing and we're so super sophisticated, right? We think we are. But in the good old days, so what happens? So you went to the bathroom, you urinated on the ground, and inevitably there are going to be splashes of urine that are going to go on your legs. So, fine. So you have to wash your feet. But the Gemara points out, Rabbi Abba says, what do you see from our Mishnah? Before you wash your feet, what you have to do with your hands, you have to wipe the urine off with your hands from your legs. You can't walk around with any type of urine on your legs. And you got to wipe them with your hands. So inevitably, what's going to happen is that when you go to the bathroom, there's going to be urine both on your hands and on your feet. Why? Why mitzvah l'shafshef? Why is this requirement to wipe the urine off your legs with your hands? So if you take a look at Rashi, I mean, it's really coming up in the Gemara, but Take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains. Mitzvah l'shashiv biyado. First Rashi on Lamed Amud Aleph. Nitzos shomei raglayim. Hanitazim al raglav. All the urine that splashed back on your legs, you have to wipe it off with your hands. Shelo yetzei ben chutz. V'nir k'kershavcha. Problem is the following. Problem is that when you walk around and there is urine on your legs, so people may mistake that for urinary problem, or there just simply may be an organ problem, meaning there's a problem with the person's organ. And the Torah prohibits a man who's a kershavcha of getting married. Kershavcha, there's something, basically, he has some, there are two issues in the Torah. There's psua daka and kershavcha. So psua daka is something wrong with his beitzim, and kershavcha is wrong with, something's wrong with the aver, the actual aver itself. And he cannot be molded. So if he's walking around with urine on his legs, so there's a possibility, it could be, right, another person's diagnosis may be, oh, it must be that he can't have children. It must be that he's a kershavcha, that's why he's urine on his legs. She'ein me raglav mikalchin ela shosesin. Because if a person's a kershavcha, so that means then that the urine doesn't flow out of his body. It just kind of runs down the side of his leg. And so therefore you see somebody with the urine around, even if he's not a kershavcha, but people may assume you are a kershavcha. And so what? So a kershavcha in a molid, meaning a kershavcha just simply cannot have children. V'yomru abanav she'inam shalom. And now, so here's the thought process of another person. Now I know the other person should not be choshed b'ksherim, and should judge everyone favorably, and no one should arrive at this conclusion. But at the same time, also, the Gemara knows that people are human, and we do sometimes jump to these kinds of assumptions and conclusions. I see a person with urine on his legs, and I'm thinking to myself, "Oh, he's a kershavcha. Oh, wait a second, he has children. How does that work?" And so, unfortunately, inevitably, people will think that those children are not his children. Right, the ones they call his are not really his. Somebody else must have fathered them. And obviously, if that's the case, then those children are mamzerim.
But then the Kohen couldn't do the avoda.
No, this is a general discussion, meaning the Kohen and the avoda, that's a different issue. Over here we're talking about a Kohen who just went to the bathroom. Okay? So the Gemara is telling us that he has to wash his hands and feet. Sorry, the Mishnah told us he has to wash his hands and feet, and the Gemara now is explaining why hands? I mean, what did he do with his hands? So the answer now is that every time he urinates and every time there's going to be droplets of urine on his legs, he's got to wipe them with his hands. The reason why is because we're worried about what people are going to say.
Gemara uses the phrase mitzvah figuratively as opposed to literally.
Yeah, mitzvah over here just simply means that's the right thing to do. It's appropriate, super appropriate.
A practical question, how about soon afterwards must you wash his hands?
Well, the Gemara doesn't say, but presumably if we're worried about what people are saying, so then immediately, right away. And Rabbi Amme makes a statement which is supportable from all this, which is that a person cannot walk around with urine on his legs because for fear that people will come to the conclusion that he's a kershavcha. And therefore those children can't possibly be yours, because how can you have those children? You're a kershavcha. Oh, it must be that your wife had an adulterous affair and those children are mamzerim. So therefore you have to wipe them immediately. Okay? So it comes out now that there's this idea of mitzvah l'shafshif, that you got to wipe the urine off from your legs using your hands, and consequently that means then that you're going to have to wash your hands. Okay, now, as far as us is concerned, we're concerned. So generally speaking, before davening, we know that there's an inyan to wash your hands. In the morning, certainly, in other words, in the morning you wash your hands, what we'll call, you know, what they traditionally is referred to as negavasser. So you wash your hands in the morning. So washing your hands in the morning comes from the Gemara, but the explanation in terms of why we wash our hands in the morning, there are two real explanations. There are three real explanations, but two of them are mentioned by the Rishonim. So one issue is, this is the Rashi, says that you wash your hands in the morning because you had daim maskanios. Because your hands have been busy the whole night, and the hands, in other words, you sleep, you're nocturnal, you're unconscious, so your hands are all over the place, and therefore your hands possibly touched a dirty place of your body. And so therefore one reason why you wash your hands in the morning is because you had daim maskanios. Right? If in fact, according to Rashi, if in fact you can know where your hands are, if you're like, I don't know, you're wearing gloves or you know, somehow you had full awareness of where your hands were over the course of the night. According to Rush, you wouldn't need to wash your hands in the morning, but that's the Shita of the Rush. The Rashba says, no, you wash your hands in the morning. Why? Because you are you're a new entity in the morning. And just like the Kohen does, he washes his hand before he starts the Avodah of the morning. So you need to wash your hands before you start your day. That's the opinion of the Rashba. Okay, so basic machlokas, not machlokas, but various opinions amongst the Rishonim why you wash your hands in the morning. On top of that, there's also another issue in the morning, which is Ruach Ra, which is that actually is mentioned in the Gemara. And so that's why we wash three times alternating, because of the Ruach Ra. Right, so, but the, fine. So that's washing your hands in the morning. But on top of that, in addition to the washing your hands in the morning, sounds like after going to the bathroom, every time you have to wash your hands. You have to do Netilas Yadayim. Right, that's what it certainly sounds like from our Gemara. Especially when you consider now what the Gemara just told us, that according to Rabbi Abba, mitzvah l'shafshif, meaning that you have to wipe your legs off, you're going to have urine in your hands every time you go to the bathroom, so therefore you have to wash your hands. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, I am reading now from the Tosfos Yeshanim. Tosfos Yeshanim is the first Tosfos Yeshanim on this Amud. My Gemara, it's on the bottom, it's two columns on the bottom. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, ki mikan yesh lomod, shanichnas lahashne mayim, ein starich litol yadav, im lo shif. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam says, okay, now what if? What if you didn't wipe your legs? Now I know the Gemara is funny, Rabbeinu Tam, because the Gemara says you should. Okay, but, so it's kind of a funny discussion that we're having right now, but Rabbeinu Tam's having it, so let's engage in it. What if you didn't wipe your legs? So you went to the bathroom, and as far as your hands concerned, it was a urine-free experience. You simply have no urine on your hands. Do you have to wash your hands? So Rabbeinu Tam arrives at the conclusion, which is pretty sensible, it's logical. No, you don't. So ha'ein starach li'tol yadav im lo shifshef. V'im shifshef mi'an nirad ein starach levarachal n'tilas yadayim. And even if you do wipe your legs with your hands, and even if you are going to wash your hands, but you don't have to make a bracha until I say daim, he's not talking about the morning. He's talking about over the course of the day. So how you raglav melachachos betit uvitzov afilah shirasa lohaya rabbeinu meir ragel levarech. That's another point, which I'll get to in just a second. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, two interesting points from Rabbeinu Tam. Number one is that if he went to the bathroom and there was no urine on his hands, meaning it was just for whatever reason, even the Gemara advocates, but you didn't wipe your legs and you have no urine on your hands, so you don't have to wash your hands. That's opinion number one of Rabbeinu Tam. Opinion number two of Rabbeinu Tam is that even if you do end up having urine on your hands and you do wash your hands, but you don't make a bracha v'alantil sedaim, meaning seemingly, I'm suggesting, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the only time you make a bracha v'alantil sedaim is only in the morning after you slept through the night. Then and only then do you have to wash your hands in the morning. But at any other given point in the day, when you go to the bathroom, you don't have to. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you don't have to wash your hands if there's no urine on your hands. And B is that even if there was, and even if you're washing, but you don't have to make a bracha of Anatil Sidayim. So two interesting points Rabbeinu Tam draws from here. There's more in the Tosfos Yeshanim. Please take a look. It's interesting. The bracha of Asher Yatzer. Do I say it every time I go to the bathroom? Okay, Tosfos Yeshanim also debates that as well. The halach is that we make a Asher Yatzer after every time we go to the bathroom. Doesn't matter if it's ketanim or if it's gedolim, if it's urinating or if it's defecating. Anyway, okay. That's just point out an interesting opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. Back to the Gemara, top of the Amud, four lines from the very top. Amar of Papa, Tzobim Koma. Okay, a little more bathroom talk for today. Tzobim Koma, what if you have actual excrement? Bim Koma, meaning in its place. Okay, in other words, after going to the bathroom, and this is a delicate discussion, but that's fine. After going to the bathroom, so you're going to have a little bit of excrement in that makom. So, Aser Likros Kriyashma. So our Papa says he can't say Kriya Shema. Now we know, in other words, we saw in Brachos already, second parak, third parak, we know that you can't say Kriya Shema in dirty areas. Meaning if there's excrement, not even on your body, meaning just in front of you. So if there's urine around you, so you can't say Kriya Shema. Okay, there has to be a clean environment in order to say Kriya Shema. So over here, what our Papa is telling us is that part of that clean environment has to be you. You have to be clean. So in other words, after having gone to the bathroom, so you have to be excrement free. Now, Hechidami, the Gemara says, now, can we even be more accurate about this statement of Rav Papa? So, Eden Neiros Pshita. Now, if the excrement is nearest, if it's visible, meaning it's on its external body, so then Pshita. In other words, okay, The truth of the matter is that it's a delicate discussion, but I get it. And not only do I get it, it's too obvious. Meaning after having gone to the bathroom, there's excrement on visible areas of your body, so you can't say Kriya Shema. And that's obvious.
Visible to whom?
Huh?
Visible to whom?
And in other words, it's on your body. In other words, you can't see it, but in other words, it's outside. Meaning it's external. So the Gemara says, it's Pasha, that's obvious. And either lo nires, lo nin the Torah malachei sharis. And if it's not visible, meaning it's in the anus, it's not outside. So what is the Torah expecting out of you, out of all of us? Meaning the Torah was given to human beings. Okay, so we're human. In other words, after having gone to the bathroom, there is going to still be some. Ultimately, there's still going to be some waste matter that it's internal, and that's something that we can't take care of. And the Torah was not given to Malachi Asharis. So Lotzricha Diyoshev Niris Omeveno Niris. So the Gemara says, well, it's somewhere in between. Meaning that when sitting, so it's visible, but when standing, it's not visible. Okay, so the Gemara says, in such a situation, a person cannot say Kriya Shema. So it comes out very clear from the Gemara that after having gone to the bathroom, so the Gemara says, you need to do a good job wiping, basically. The Gemara says, fine. But let me ask you this. Meaning, okay, what did we just conclude? We just concluded that if you have Tzoa, after having gone to the bathroom, and it's an external place, and we were a little bit loose in terms of the definition of external. External means even if you're sitting, it's visible, so that's no good. You can't say Kriya Shema. The Gemara says, okay, but compared to the following halacha, De'idmar tzol besoro al. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, shayu yada beveis hakise. Let's say you have a little bit of excrement on your body, meaning could even be it's not even your own excrement. All right, you just your child needed a diaper changing. You change the diaper. Turns out you have a little bit of excrement on your body, on your arm. And oh, by the way, let's even suggest as follows. Let's say it's covered. So in other words, it's not exposed. So it doesn't, and also important to point out, although the Gemara didn't say it, but it's right, it doesn't smell. Because if it smells, if it gives a foul odor, so then for sure there's nothing to talk about. Meaning you for sure can't daven, you can't say Kriya Shema. But in other words, you have a little bit of excrement on your body. So Rav Huna Amar Mutal Kros Kriya Shema, Rav Chista Amar Asal Kros Kriya Shema. So Machlok is between Rav Chista and Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, it's fine. Meaning you can say Kriya Shema. It's just a little bit. It's on your body, but it's covered. And it doesn't produce a smell, so it's fine. And Rav Papa says, sorry. Rav Chista says, no, you cannot say Kriya Shema. And if you take a look at Rashi right here on the Gemara, so Rashi writes, Rav Chista Amar Aser, Mishum Kol Atzmosai Tomarna. So because we have a pasuk, we're familiar with it on Shabbos morning, the Kol Atzmosai Tomarna, meaning that all my limbs are going to sing and praise it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I can't have any portion of my body with excrement on it. But in other words, it's not a problem with the excrement per se, it's just that I have to have just simply no waste on my body. Time mishum kolat masayav mishum zuamas areach lo. But Rashi points out the issue over here is that there's no zuama, there's nothing, doesn't produce any foul odor. It's a separate issue. So now it comes out.
Is there a difference over the
chatzolah b'yevet? Well, hold on one second. Give me a moment. So it comes down now. This is very difficult for Rav Papa because Rav Papa says that after having gone to the bathroom and then if there's any excrement around the area, so he can't say Kriya Shema. And Rav Papa was saying it as a function of because there's excrement on your body, and it produces a foul odor, and you simply can't do it. And meanwhile, we have another halacha which we learned together in Brachos, which is that if you have tzoa al besara, if you have a little bit of tzoa on your body, and it's covered and it doesn't smell, so according to Rav Huna, you can even say Kriya Shema. According to Rav Chista, you can't. But there's nothing wrong per se with the actual tzoa. It's just a separate, as Rashi points out, it's just a separate din of kol atzmosai tamarna. But in other words, there's nothing wrong with the tzoa per se. So Rav Papa, how do you deal with these two opinions? So the Gemara's answer is, bimkoma nafish zuama, shelo bimkoma lo nafish zuama. So the Gemara strikes the following distinction, that if it's after having gone to the bathroom, and that's so a bim koma, that's the place where it's generated, so that produces an odor, a fouler odor. Rashi says, bim koma nafizhuama, shechamahi, shelo yatzala avir, volonis pazarecha. So there, it never really left the cavity, meaning obviously it's outside your body, but it's in an area where it's warm, where it produces much more of an odor, there was no dissipation of the odor. Masha'en kein, if it's a little bit of tzoa that ends up on your arm or on your leg. And so really the truth of the matter is that at that point in time, it's not as foul, and the smell is dissipated, and the Gemara says, and that's the difference, that's the distinction. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, a little bit more bathroom talk for today. I know we're... but again, it all comes back to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah strikes the difference between urinating and defecating. The Mishnah says that if a person urinates, he has to wash his hands and feet. If he defecates, he has to tovel the mikvah before doing the avoda. Tana Rabban, the Gemara suggests. Gemara teaches the following brisa. Halacha basuda adam yotzei lahashem mayim notzei yadav achas v'nichnas. A person goes to the bathroom during the middle of the meal. Okay. Now we're no longer talking about davening. We're no longer talking about Kriya Shema. We're just talking about in the middle of the meal. So what's the problem? There's no problem. But the issue is that you wash your hands to eat bread. So you want your hands to have been clean. So you go outside, you go to the bathroom, and you're coming back in now. So the Braisa says, no tel yado achas v'nechnas. You only need to wash one hand. Meaning whichever hand was involved in the actual wiping or the cleaning of yourself. So that hand needs to be washed. What about the other hand? No. Because you already washed your hands prior to the meal. So your hands are already clean. So whichever hand is involved in the actual bathroom, that hand needs to be washed, but not the other ones. Interestingly enough, diber im chavero v'hiflig notol sheyadav. But let's say while going outside you had a long conversation. And you really spent a lot of time outside. And you were totally engrossed in this outside conversation. So then, you have to wash both of your hands. Well, what a strange conclusion. When going to the bathroom, you only need to wash the hand that you use to go to the bathroom. When having a long conversation, now you need to wash both hands. Now that's odd, but we know. In other words, we've seen this a number of times. When you had a long conversation, what happened? You had a hesach hadas. You had an interruption of thought, meaning your head was diverted from your hands. And once you no longer have consciousness over your hands, so at that point in time now, you got to wash anew. Got to wash your hands anew. It'd be no different than having a meal in the morning and then sitting down and having another meal at lunch. But you have to wash your hands. I understand. Didn't I wash my hands in the morning for breakfast? Yeah, maybe, but that was breakfast. You had a long interruption between breakfast and lunch. You have to wash your hands again. Here too, if you go outside in the middle of the meal and you have a long conversation, you have to wash your hands again. Shtei yadav, you have to wash both your hands again. Masha enkin, if it's in the bathroom, you didn't have hesach hadas. The only problem is that there's actual physical waste on your hand. So the only hand that needs to be washed is the hand that you used.
In what way do you wash?
Well, over here, in other words, right? It's not the just simply wash, meaning it's not the alternating. You know, right, with a cup. In other words, just wash. Although with hesach hadas, however, presumably you need to wash. You need to wash like you would wash for the first time for bread. Right, twice on the right, twice on the left. Ukishuhu nota lo yito bechutz v'ikanes mimnei chashad. Now, when you wash your hands, the another halacha mentioned in this Tosefta. When you wash your hands, make sure to wash your hands inside. Meaning, you would think, it's funny, you would think like Derech Eretz, like wash your hands outside and then come inside. No. Wash your hands inside. Because you don't want, you want to be above suspicion. You don't want people to think that you didn't wash your hands at all. So, what you do is the following. You come back inside, you wash your two hands, and you say to other people around the table, does anyone else need to wash their hands? Okay. Rashi points out, you're not really offering the jug to anyone else to wash their hands. That's just simply an announcement. That's a polite way of saying to everybody, hey, I washed my hands. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, really? You have to go inside, you have to wash your hands in front of others? So Rav Chista modifies, he qualifies. That's only true if you're coming back in the meal just to drink. Because you're drinking, you're not actually handling the food, you're holding the cup. Now, I know, for some of us around this table, you're like, around this room, it's like, Okay, so what? You just went to the bathroom, really? But the Gemara says, again, you go back to a time where, not that they weren't, they didn't believe in hygiene, they did, just it was like a different level of hygiene. So so that's only if you're holding the cup to drink. However, in that case, it's possible that you go to the bathroom, you'll come back, you won't wash your hands. So that's why you have to wash your hands in public in front of others to show them, hey, I wash my hands. Aval, lechol. But if you're coming back into the room to eat, nobody is going to think that you went to the bathroom and you didn't wash your hands, and now you came back to the table and there you are now handling the food and eating the food. No one's going to think that. So there's of course still a requirement to wash your hands, but you don't have to wash your hands inside the house. There you can wash the hands outside the house. What about chashad? No worries. Don't worry about chashad. Nobody's going to think that you just went to the bathroom and now picking up the food with your hand, eating the food, no one's going to think that you didn't wash your hands. Everybody knows that. Yeah, right. No one's going to. People do care about that.
Is that chashad or mardain?
Well, the Gemara's language is chashad. You know, right? Mardain is another way to say it. Mardain may.
They would even think it's permitted to do, so it's a.
Correct. But the Gemara says that under such circumstances, just simply no chashad.
Yeah, but earlier, you could have waited till you found a mikvah to.
Well, this is not. In other words, the mikvah is just for the kohen doing the avodah. That's the mikvah. Here we're just talking about washing your hands.
Yeah, but he had dirt. He had to deal with. So he had to wait till he went to a mikvah. The question of hygiene is still one that needs to be asked at that point. No.
In other words, the mikvah is just for the kohen doing the avoda. Right now, this is just talking about the Gemara segued into a discussion of what happens when you're in the middle of a meal, and you went out in the right. This is just talking about. He's just talking about returning to the meal. Avalechol, no, tell me b'chutz v'nechlan to me dani and daiti. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'ana. Now Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, now as far as I'm concerned, people know me, and people know that I'm a germ freak. So v'ana filishtos nami mediyad dani and daiti. And because I have this reputation of a germ freak, so people will know. Even if I just went out, and even if I'm just coming back to drink. People know me. People know there's no way that guy didn't wash his hands. Okay? So, and so therefore, I don't have to wash my hands inside the house. Everyone knows I wash my hands outside the house. So it's interesting because essentially what the Gemara is saying is that although there's a chashad concern, and although you are bound from this Tosefta to go back into the meal and wash your hands in front of other people, if all you're going to do is just drink. But it's interesting because the Gemara says, well, it really depends on the person. Meaning that generally speaking, we say that once there's a chashad, or as you put it, marasayin, so generally speaking, we say lo plug. We don't make any type of differentiation between different types of people. And interesting, the Gemara over here says, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, because people know that I'm a germ freak, so therefore I don't have to wash my hands in front of others because people know that I wash my hands. So for whatever reason over here, we're not employing the general principle of low plug.
But there are times where, like, this time I'm going to say that you do think that they're not supposed to, like, someone who's not Yamil, like, the thing that he did that they were not supposed to do, like, as an example, because he's got a delicate.
Right, correct. The Gemara, not the first time, right, not the first time that we talked about people who are Anina Daite. But, okay, it's interesting. We start with the next Mishnah. We're now continuing. Look, we were speaking about general rules in the Beis HaMikdash. You go to the bathroom, so if you urinate, you have to wash your hands and feet. If you defecate, you have to tovel the mikvah. And the Mishnah continues. If you're just going to walk into the Azara, so there, you have to tovel the mikvah. Ein Adam, let me reread the Mishnah. Ein Adam nechnas lazar la'avoda afilo tar ashidbo. And this is not a tar tuma issue. Meaning you could be tar. Let's assume you are.
You must be tar.
You're right. Correct. That's right. Ben says it better than I did. In other words, you have to be tar. You can't be tummy going into the Azara. You're tummy, you go into the Azara. Chayv kares. So that's very serious. So you're tar. Doesn't matter. There's still a din to tov on the mikvah. Where does this din come from? So stay tuned. We're going to get to it in just a moment. But you have to tovel the mikvah. There is a debate amongst the Rishonim, right? I saw in your in our notes that you sent me. So he discusses it, meaning is it just simply a tiyul in the Azara, which in general, who's going to be mitayel in the Azara, or the person himself is going into the Azara in order to do an avoda? Okay, so we're gonna if you want to see a discussion in terms of that particular issue. So the Bam Tosfos is on the Amud. So he has a discussion of exactly what the purposes of going into the Azara. But right now, for our purposes, let's just say it's simple. You're going into the Azar, you have to tell from the mikvah. Period. Done. Now, afilu tara sheet bo chamesh tefilos v'asar kiddushin tova kohen gadol mekadosh bo bayom v'kulam b'kodesh al beis ha-parva. Generally speaking, kohen gadol 5 and 10. We're going to see these numbers 5 and 10 come up again and again. We're going to get very used to these numbers. By the end of the mesechta, even earlier than that, we're going to have working knowledge in terms of when exactly he washes his hands and when he exactly tovels in the mikvah. But 10 times is he washing his hands and 5 times is he toveling in the mikvah. A total on Yom Kippur. And again, the details we're going to get through later. But 10 and 5, he does so, he tovels in the mikvah in the Beis HaParva. Beis HaParva, we already identified, it's on the southern, it's along the southern side of the Azara. Right, the one all the way in the southeast corner of the Azara, right between the Lishkas HaMelech and the Lishkas HaMadichim, right, Lishkas HaParva. And on top of that, there was a mikvah.
That's where the blue one is.
Correct, right over here. Okay, so that's the Beis HaParva, that's where the Kohen Gadol is going to be dipping in the mikvah on Yom Kippur. Chutz Mizu Bilvad. Except for this first one. Why? What's the difference? Because over here, he's going into the Azara. He's going into the Azara, just like anyone who's going into the Azara, you have to tovel in the mikvah, so he too also has to tovel in the mikvah. So here, this tefillah can't be in the Azara. It, by definition, has to be outside the Azara, so that he can tovel in the mikvah in order to go into the Azara. So where exactly is it? I don't know. I'm unsure. It could be this one over here, assuming that this is considered Chus Azara. I'm not sure. So chutz mizu b'vad, parts of sudden shall butz bein olavein ha'am, and what they would do is apparently this mikvah was in a visible area, so they would basically make drapes like a partition, so that he would have tznius when he tovels in the mikvah. Okay, now shaluz ben zoma. We start right away with the Gemara. They ask ben zoma tefila zu lama. So tefila zu lama, right? Meaning. Why? Where's the source that you tovel in the mikvah? So Amar Lahem, so Ben Zoma's answer goes like this. Umaha mishane, mikodesh lakodesh, umi makam shenosh kares, lamakam shenosh kares, ton tvila. So Ben Zoma says, let's take our cue from the Kohen Gadol. What's happening to the Kohen Gadol? On Yom Kippur, he's going to be toveling a total of 5 times. Now, in terms of halachically, is he going from a place from Chol to Kodesh? No, he's going from Kodesh to Kodesh, from one area of Kodesh to another area of Kodesh. Is he going from a place where it's Eino Kares to a place where there is Kares? Again, no. He's moving from one place which is Kares to another place which is Kares. Meaning, all the movements on Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol are lateral movements, the horizontal movements, and nevertheless, the Torah says. He has to tovel in the mikvah. So hamishana b'chol hakodesh u'mimakom she'eino nashkaris l'makom she'eino nashkaris eino din she'ta'un tvila. So Ben Zoma now employs a kal v'chomer. If by lateral movements the Torah says you have to tovel in the mikvah, so if you're making a vertical movement, if you're going from a place of chol to a place of kodesh, to a place where there's no kares, to a place where there is kares, if you're tamei, so for sure, achas kama v'kama, how much more so do you need to tovel in the mikvah? So basically, Ben Zoma learns through a kal v'chomer this idea that you have to tovel in the mikvah. Now, any halacha that's derived through a kal v'chomer, is that a din d'rabbanan or din d'oraisa? Okay? It's a din d'oraisa. Now, again, you can poke holes at the kal v'chomer. We can challenge a kal v'chomer. I mean, I don't know if we can, but in other words, you could challenge a kal v'chomer. But if you support a halacha based on a kal v'chomer, so generally speaking, that's a din d'oraisa,
right,
as the Gemara is about to point out. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, srach tefila hizu, Kidei Shizkar Tumah Yishana Shebiyado V'Yefrosh. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. This is what he refers to as Srach Tfila. What does that mean, Srach Tfila? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi explains, Ein Kan Chova Min HaTorah. Rav Yehuda disagrees with Ben Zoma. It is not a biblical obligation to tov on the mikvah. Ela l'srach u'l'tfos b'shem tefila k'day la'alos alev shein tefila ela l'tamein. It's just there as a reminder. Hey, why do you tov on the mikvah? Why do people tov on the mikvah? Oh, because they're tamei. That's usually what happens. Ela says l'libo im yesh tuma alav v'yizk or tuma yishana shiyesh alav. And thereby, by going into the mikvah, it's going to prompt the kohen to think to himself, is there? Am I holding on to any old tuma? V'shich chavir fresh malav alazar hayom ashiyarv shem shol achra tefila v'lo yavar hayom. And as Rashi points out, and what if he remembers? Oh yeah, I'm tamei. So now what? So now he'll tov on the mikvah, and then turn around and go back home. He won't go into the azar because remember we've said time and again, in order to be tahor, unless it's tumas meis, but in order to be tahor, you need to tov on the mikvah and you need hair of shemesh. So therefore, what's going to end up happening according to Rav Yehuda is that you tov on the mikvah before going to the azar as a reminder. It's almost like it's like security check. Like, check, am I tamei? Now, if the answer happens to be yes, so then the tefillah was wonderful, but of course you're going to go back home, and you won't come back until the next day. And if the check checks, meaning if it turns out that after having gone to the mikvah and reminding yourself, am I tamei? And if the answer is no, so then you're good. So that's all it is. It's just a reminder. So, b'makom ifli, the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina between Ben Zoma and Rav Yehuda? The Gemara says, top now of Laman Amud Beis, b'achul avodikam iflagi. So the question is as follows. Let's say you didn't tov on the mikvah. Is the avoda that you do, is it going to be mechulal? Are you going to profane the avoda that you did? Is it disqualified? So the Ben Zoma machla avodah, Rav Yehuda lo machla avodah. So the Gemara assumes right now that that's going to be a basic nafkamina, because Rav Ben Zoma says the requirement to tov on the mikvah is a din d'oraisa, not a din d'rabbanan. So that means the failure to tov on the mikvah means that you are ill prepared min haTorah to do the avodah. And if you're ill prepared min haTorah, so that means that any avodah that you've done is going to be mechulal. It's not going to be good. And according to Rav Yehuda, there is no Torah requirement to tov on the mikvah. It's just a din d'rabbanan. Not to minimize it, but if you don't do it, it's not going to be mechala yavoda.
Isn't there a principle of
Enshu's Mamikdash? True, that's general derabbanan. This derabbanan was set up specifically for the Beis Hamikdash to help. Okay, it's fair. It's a fair question. But the Gemara, according to Rabbi Huda, the whole purpose of Tovling is just basically help the Kohen remember.
The Tfila doesn't happen in
the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, could be. No, it's a fair point. Ula Ben Zoma mi machal, and the Gemara says, now even according to Ben Zoma, are we right? The Gemara is asking. Is our nafkamina correct? V'atani we learned in a brisa kohen gadol shol tova v'lo kiddush bein beged lebeged or bein avoda lavoda avoda sokshera echa kohen gadol v'echa kohen hedjo shalok kiddush yada v'raglov shachris v'avod avoda sopsula. Look, in the morning, if you didn't tovel in the mikvah and you weren't mekadesh adayim v'raglayim, so then that's a deal breaker. Then the avoda is no good. But a Kohen Gadol, who there is a mitzvah for him to tov on the mikvah 5 times, and there is a mitzvah for him to be mekadesh adayim v'raglayim 10 times. But if he didn't do it, the avoda is still good. So the Gemara says that, look, our nafkamina sounded great, but the truth of the matter is it's not. Because we happen to know that Ben Zalman actually says, Bidi Evid. If, and we're not talking about the first Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim in the morning, but if he was not Mekadesh Adayim V'Raglayim, and if he was not Tov on the Mikvah, for we're talking about the Kohen Gadol, when he makes his lateral movements, so then it's not Mechal of the Avodah. So, it sounds good, the Nafkamina, but the Gemara says, but just simply doesn't pan out, doesn't work out. So, Ela Lamekim Baaseh Kamiflegi, Leben Zoma Kai Baaseh, Leviyu Lo Kai Baaseh. So the Gemara says, okay, so the Nafkamina is going to be simpler, which is, did you violate a law in the Torah? Or I should say better, an assay of the Torah. Meaning, according to Ben Rizoma, any Kohen is going to do the Avodah, has to tov on the mikvah. And he learned it from a Kavachomer from the Kohen Gadol. And so therefore, according to Ben Zoma, there's a positive commandment to tov in the mikvah. According to Rav Yehuda, it's not a positive commandment, it's a din d'rabbanan. So failure to do so, according to Ben Zoma, you just negated an asay. According to Rav Yehuda, he did not negate an asay. Now it's wonderful, I know how to say it, meaning I can now say the nafkamina, but what practical difference does that create? Meaning it's really nomenclature. It's just simply we're identifying that according to Ben Zoma, you violate an asay. You negate an asay. But practically, is that going to be different than Rav Yehuda? I'm unsure, to be honest. Okay, so something to consider in terms of what the practical difference is. Right, previously the Gemara gave a great practical nafkamina, whether or not the avodah is good or the avodah is not good. But now the Gemara dropped that nafkamina because of the brisa. So now what does nafkamina practically translate into? I'm unsure. The Gemara now quotes a brisa, the Mitzora Tova Vaome Bisharni Kanor. The Mitzora Tova stands in front of Sharni Kanor. Remember the Mitzora? On the eighth day of his Tahara, what's going to happen? He's going to get a Tahara, a full Tahara. Bring his Karbanos, and after having brought his Karbanos, so now he can go into the Azara. The oddity regarding the Mitzora is that part of the Tahara process is he has to take the blood of the Asham and sprinkle it, and the oil, and there's a log shemen, and sprinkle it on his right toe, his right thumb, and on his right earlobe. Here's the problem. The problem is very simple. The blood can't leave the Azara. He, because the carbonates haven't been brought yet, can go into the Azara. So where do we bridge this difficulty? At the Sharni Kanor, at the Eastern Gate, where what's going to happen is he's going to insert his hand into the Azara, and then they're going to apply it to his thumb. So the rest of his body will not. Meaning the line of demarcation between Azara and outside Azara, he'll stand right outside the line, put his hand in order to get the application of blood, put his toe in to get his application of blood, put his right ear in to get the application of blood, but he won't go in. Good. That's all. That's straightforward. We've seen this time and again. The discussion we're having now, the Braisa says, but before he does any of that, he tovos in the mikvah. Tovah va'om me b'shar nikanor. Rabbi Yehuda Amrei nitzarach tefillah shekvar tovah mi ba'erev. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, there's no tefillah requirement because he already tovah the day prior. The evening prior. So what's difficult? Well, the Gemara thinks what's difficult now is that Rabbi Yehuda, here we have a mitzvah. He's about to, quote-unquote, enter into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara. And Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't have to tovah the mikvah. The Gemara says that's a question. Meaning, Hahu kiditni taima shikvar taval mi ba'erev. I don't understand. Did you read the Braisa? The Braisa said that, you know why according to Rav Yehuda he doesn't have to tovel the mikvah? Because he did so the previous day. Remember, according to Rav Yehuda, it's just a reminder. So when did he have the reminder? Yesterday. That's why he doesn't tovel the mikvah today. Udikarile makarila. And the Gemara, sometimes when the question that was asked does not seem to be a strong question at all, And the question and the answer is kind of staring you right there in the face. So the Gemara says, "Tekarilei makarila." Like, what were you thinking? Meaning, why did you think that was a question? Mishum tekar by lamir ma'achrit ala. So the Gemara says, "Oh, you know what? It was a setup. The question really was a setup question because what bothered us was the following: Lishkas. It's the next brisa or the next part of the brisa. Lishkas mitzrayim shesham mitzrayim tovlim. The lishkas mitzrayim." Remember, we went around the Ezra Snashim not that long ago, and we pointed out here in the northwest corner of the Ezra Snashim, we have the Lishkas Mitzrayim. There's a mikvah, and that's where the Mitzrayim Tovim. So Lishkas Mitzrayim Tovim, Rav Yehuda Amar, Lo Mitzrayim Bavad Amar, Ela Kol Adam. So Rav Yehuda says, not just the Mitzrayim, but Kol Adam. Everyone Tovim's in that mikvah. That mikvah is not just limited to the Mitzrayim. So, So Lokasha. I'm sorry. So there, it sounds like the Mitzora does tova on the mikvah. So the Gemara says Lokasha had the tova, had the lo tova. So the Gemara says, well, we'll make a very simple distinction, meaning on the day prior, if on the day prior he didn't tova, so on the eighth day he'll tova, and if on the day prior he did tova, so then there's no requirement for him to tova. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Idlo tovel hayru shemesh bayin. What are you talking about? If our mitzvah didn't tovel on day 7, and day 8 is the first time he's toveling in the mikvah, okay, he can't go into the base of mikdash. He still requires hayru shemesh. Ela idi v'idi detovel. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe, well, let's strike a different distinction. Maybe in both cases he toveled on the day 7. Hadasach taite, adolo asach taite. And it's just a question of whether he had hesach hadas. So he asach taite, asach shishi v'shvi bayis. So the Gemara says, hesach hadas. If he totally lost track of whether or not he toveled or didn't tovel.
Isn't hesach hadas a function of time also, just by time alone? Forget about whether he really had it or not.
Right. In other words, how can you go through the whole night?
Right. And he sleeps. That's right there.
Okay.
Automatic.
Okay. I don't know. It's a good point. But the Gemara is saying, well, I understand, if you have Hesach Hadas, so then, and you want to go into the Azara, so you need an entire purification process, including sprinkling of the Paraduma on the 3rd and 7th day. Damar Abdu Stai Bar Matan Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hesach Hadas Sar Chazash Lishu Shvi. Gemara quotes the halacha in the name of Rav Dustai, that if you had Hesach Hadas and you lost total memory of when you were Tamei, if you're Tamei, etc., etc., so you got to go through an entire purification process, including sprinkling on day 3 and day 7. So once again, we're a little bit confused. Rav Yehuda says that the Mitzvah Tovel is the day prior. Rav Yehuda says that the Mitzvah Tovel is on the 8th day. Okay, well, what's going on? So v'lo kasha had to tavel al das bias mikdash had lo tavel al das bias mikdash. So the Gemara's answer is it depends. If he's toveling for the purposes of bias mikdash, so then you're good. Then the tefillah on day 7 worked, and he doesn't have to tovel again on day 8. But if he's not toveling for bias mikdash, I mean, it's hard to imagine like what's going on in his mind. It's day 7 of his tzaras, but if he just simply says, okay, I'm just toveling to get rid of my tzaras, my tumah, but I'm not toveling for the purpose of Bias Mikdash, that's why he has to tovel the next day for Bias Mikdash. And this answer works out, because now on day 8, he's not Tamei, he's not toveling to get rid of his Tumah, he's simply toveling now just simply to allow entrance, to gain entrance into the Azara.
Isn't it considered Mechusar Kapara?
Correct. In other words, again, that's the rub. The rub with the Mitzvah is still Mechusar Kapara.
Right.
So, but still, he has to insert his hand and his legs into the Azara. And for that, he needs the Tefillah. V'i b'yaseim, I'll just finish up. V'i b'yaseim etani lo mitzarayim amru ela kol adam. Or we'll just simply, we'll touch up the brisa a little bit. Meaning when Rav Yehuda espouses his position, if we had it lo mitzarayim bilvad. Oh, not just mitzarayim, but everyone tovels. No, actually, the way we're going to touch up the brisa is lo mitzarayim. The mitzvah doesn't need it, because he toveled already yesterday. Anybody else who wants to enter into the Azara, now it's the tovel in the mikvah. Okay, and it comes down now that Rav Yehuda works out, Rav Yehuda's position is fine. Rav Yehuda says that he tovels in the mikvah on the day prior, and that's why he doesn't have to tovel today. Okay, we'll stop. We'll pause over here. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. We finished up the previous sugya by exploring a couple of bathroom issues and the requirement to wash your hands after having gone to the bathroom, washing your hands for davening, washing your hands for continuing your meal. Okay, exposed us to a shitas Rabbeinu Tam in terms of the requirement to wash hands after having gone to the bathroom. The Mishnah then goes on to discuss that in general, if you want to go into the Azara, you have to tovel in the mikvah. Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is going to do so 5 times, plus 10 washings of his hands and feet. Is this a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, toveling in the mikvah before going into the Azara? Machlok is between Ben Zoma and Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara tried to bring a contradiction within the sheet of Rav Yehuda, but basically the Gemara ironed it out. Adkan. That's today's daf.